trying to hear can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And this turns up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the H&P listener line, on the text line, on X, Twitter, at PCreighton1. Josh Vans on the other side of the glass at Mass Controls, at IMJ Chevy on X, Twitter. On Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go. You know you wanna. You know what today is? Today is Justin Verlander Day. It was 6 years ago when Jim Crane fulfilled his promise to all Astros fans the world over. After he said, I will spend the money when it is time to spend the money. And today, 6 years ago, it was time to spend the money. And the prospects. And Jim Crane did all of them. Despite the fact that there were reports during the day coming out of Detroit that a deal had been agreed to between the Astros and the Tigers for Justin Verlander, but that Verlander would not waive his no trade to come to the front runners of the American League. Those reports turned out to be erroneous. And at about 32 seconds to midnight, Justin Verlander agreed to become a member of the Houston Astros. And all that has happened since then is the Astros have won two titles, been to four World Series, six straight ALCS, and Verlander has won two Cy Young Awards. And now, after a slight semester abroad, Justin is back where he belongs, the Houston Astros, for one more trip to the postseason. And looking at his contract, potentially two more trips to the postseason, potentially three more trips to the postseason, where there will be, for the seventh consecutive year, the Astros Invitational, also known as the American League Championship Series, the Astros Invitational. And for those of you wondering, yes, the Houston Astros do have the best odds, according to Las Vegas, the best odds of making it to the World Series out of the American League. And no one should be surprised by this at all. No one should be surprised by this at all. And the fact that Framber Valdez, outside of being really ticked off because of defensive misplays in the sixth inning, led him to forget that he was a superstar pitcher. Framber Valdez, his last two starts, has looked an awful lot more like, well, Framber Valdez. Two starts ago, he walked a few too many guys, but he gave up exactly zero hits. And then yesterday, cruising through five innings before, well, maybe a full swing bunt and maybe an error by a shortstop made him become a little unraveled. And why Framber Valdez, at 28 years old, unravels when things start to get a little sideways? I don't know. I don't understand. There is no logic behind this. You would think by now, at 28 years old, Framber Valdez could say, you know what? I'm going to get this punk ass to ground into a double play, and I'm out of this. But for some reason, he gets angry. He gets flustered. He gets filibustered and Twitter-pated and every other wacky word that you can think of. And then he doesn't execute his pitches. And even the great Martin Maldonado has been unable to occasionally get Framber Valdez under control while staying within the confines and constraints of the pitch clock. Maybe they should just take a timeout. Maybe it's even worth it to just, you know what, we're just going to take a one ball here, whatever. And then let Framber just get him to pound it into the ground. But as of today, you're reigning, defending, undisputed world champions. And yes, I said world champions. I don't give a damn what the NBA is dealing with. World champion, NBA champion. In Major League Baseball, they are world champions. And there is no one on the face of the earth that is beating the MLB world champs. Just stick a fork in it. That conversation is done. The world champion, Houston Astros. Now, before this season started, I predicted the Astros were going to win 95 games. They're currently on pace to win 92 games. However, much of that pace existed while Yordan Alvarez was not playing baseball, while Jose Altuve was not playing baseball, while Michael Brantley was not playing baseball, while Jose Urquidy was not playing baseball, while Justin Verlander was not a member of this baseball team. However, many of those things have all changed, all to the positive. So now, how many games will your Houston Astros win? Will they win less than 92 games? Will they win somewhere between 92 and 94 games? Do you think they'll win 95 plus? Do you think they'll win 98 or more? You know how to get on in that conversation at 713-780 and the 3776. And you can tell all of us your prediction for the number of games the Astros are going to win. For those of you who may have tickets for games this weekend, those of you who are going to be at Minute Maid Park when the South Bronx Slumlords come to town tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, I want you to listen very, very carefully. We are not going to treat the South Bronx Slumlords the same way that we would treat, say, the Kansas City Royal Buttlickers, okay? We're not going to treat them that way. We're not going to treat them like the Detroit Tiggers, okay? Because, you know, Tigger's a fun little character who bounces around and says silly things. Not really all that important. Just like that entire team, not really all that important. But the South Bronx Slumlords, every time the Houston Astros go to the South Bronx, they are treated extremely rudely. And the fans of the Slumlords, they say very awful things to our guys for nine innings straight, winning, losing, getting their butts kicked, irrelevant. They will call the Astros cheaters. They will scream F Altuve. They will scream F the Astros. They will yell. They will throw things, which we're not going to encourage throwing things because that is inappropriate. However, every single person who attends these games needs to be a louder than they have ever been for the full nine innings. And for nine innings, every time the South Bronx Slumlords come to the plate, the only thing that I want to hear emanating from that crowd, so loud that it permeates the broadcast on television, on radio, every single time they're at bat, last place Yankees! Last place Yankees! I want it to be relentless. I want it to be brutal. I never want it to stop. Every single time they come to bat, I want Astros fans to be as loud as humanly possible, reminding the South Bronx Slumlords just where they are in the baseball hierarchy, looking straight up at the rest of the world because they are, in fact, in last place. Last place! And won't it be great that as much as we make fun of the New York Mets, and for legitimate reasons, I don't think there has ever been a season in Major League Baseball history where both the Mets and the Yankees have both finished in last in the same season. And you know what? It's time. It's time for the Mets and the Slumlords to both finish in dead friggin' last. And while we don't really care about the Mets finishing in last because they're in the National League and they did give us Justin Verlander and they are practically paying his entire freight to be here, the Slumlords, who routinely besmirch the names of the Houston Astros, routinely besmirch the names of their daddies, they need to be taught a lesson. They need to be taken behind the woodshed and given an old-fashioned spanking, maybe with a couple of switches. So I want all Astros fans, as loud as humanly possible, screaming last place Yankees every time that POS team comes to bat. Every freaking time. Do not disappoint me, Astros fans. Do not disappoint the team that you root for, the team that you support. Make sure they know it doesn't matter that the slumlords are in last place. They are the bottom of the scourge of the earth, and you are going to let them know for 9 freaking innings all 3 days as you look for your team to sweep their asses out of here the way they just swept the blow sucks out of Fenway. Late hits. Oh, before we hit the break, I got to tell you about our friends at BetUS. You know, BetUS has become my favorite sportsbook and casino. Football's back. We're going to put our bets down. This year, I'll tell you, it's BetUS.com. Why? Their 30th year of sports betting service, and they're offering up for their 30th anniversary up to 30 risk-free bets. What if I told you you could bet and not lose anything? Risk-free. Up to 30. It's called Bet Protect. On top of that, you know who gives out the industry's biggest sign-up bonus at 125%? BetUS does. You want more than 125%? Sign up with crypto, and you'll get 200% crypto sign-up bonus. 250% casino bonus. It's not just enough to love the game and enjoy the game, but how about we make it a lot more fun? We take it up a next level, put a little bit of action on these games at BetUS.com. And not only can you do it before the game, but they've got live in-game betting. You can be making that money all game long. It never stops. So take advantage of the 30th anniversary offer. Up to 30 risk-free bets. Get Bet Protect. Get started today. Go to BetUS.com or call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about every bonus and every special offer that they have. 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS.com, sportsbook and casino, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
Mr. Campbell, send out the amendment is acceptable to the author. Is there objection to the opposite amendment? And the chair has done. The amendment is adopted.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So when you take a look at the standings, when you look at Major League Baseball standings in the American League West and see the Seattle Coffee Sippers and the Houston Astros in a virtual tie for first place, when you see the Arlington Junk Grabbers a game behind, but, did you notice something about the Arlington Junk Grabbers? See, they have the same number of losses as the reigning, defending, undisputed world champion Houston Astros. However, they have 2 fewer wins. That almost makes that one game in the standings kind of like 2 games. See, they've played 2 less games than the Astros, but they have to win both to tie. They have to win both. And if memory serves correctly, I believe that when we get to the actual schedule, and there are only three games left with the Astros and the grabbers of the junk. There's only three games left. And I want to say the Astros currently have the edge in that series. I want to say the Astros are leading that series right now, which means the junk grabbers would actually have to pass the Astros again in order to, like, leapfrog them in the actual standing. So that would create almost an additional game advantage for the Astros, which doesn't seem like something that would be all that bad for the good guys. Doesn't seem like something that we'd go, oh, well, I don't know about that. No, yeah, that works for all of us. Let them be a little bit ahead. Let the junk grabbers, I've noticed that the junk grabbers' social media accounts, and that for like Bally Sports with their TV partner, they are catching a lot of grief for some of their previous posts on what is now X, formerly Twitter. They are catching a lot of the grief because, well, earlier this year when they were in first place, they did not exactly act like they had been there before, probably because, well, they hadn't. So they didn't act like they had been there before. And they went and ran their mouths and talked a whole lot of stupid. Oh, look at us. We're in first place. Everybody should kiss our fannies, blah, blah, blah. Except, well, you know what? That bullpen. Oh, that bullpen. Yeah, their bullpen, which has been their Achilles heel from the beginning and actually has gotten worse as the season has gone on, despite the fact that they have made attempts to make it better. They've tried. They failed, but they've tried. And all that talk about, oh, look, it's June. We have our biggest lead of the season. How's that working out for you? I saw a lot of junk grabber faithful, a lot of coffee sipper faithful, whining and crying like they always do when the Astros had that straw poll about which Astro is the daddy for which team. Oh, were they crying like little biatches. The same Seattle coffee sippers fans and social media accounts that, well, you'd think they won the World Series because they swept a series from the Astros in the regular season. The Astros, of course, swept the coffee sippers in the postseason last year, and then the Astros Twitter put up a little graphic about it, and wow, did the butt hurt come out. The whining and the crying, we could have drank those tears for 30 years. Classless. That was the word du jour. Classless. How dare the Astros put up that they swept the Mariners. Classless. Yet the Mariners are also always putting up, oh, look, we got a sweep. Oh, look, we're dancing. We're dancing. We won a series in the regular season. We're dancing. Yay. Do something in the postseason, clowns. How about win a game in the postseason, clowns? Do something in October, clowns. Hell, junk grabbers, do something in August. Besides lose. Been really good at losing in August. I mean, well, the Mariners have passed them and they were, what, seven games back a week and a half ago? Yeah. Falling like a lead balloon, the Arlington junk grabbers. Perhaps the junk has gone soft. and they're struggling with their grip when they grab. It's that lead is squishy. It's slipping away. It's hard to keep a hand on them. They tried using two hands, but there wasn't enough there. Do you see my problems they have in Arlington? Problems they only have in Arlington. In Seattle, they've been extremely hot. But I want you to think about this. In the month of August, the Coffee Sippers won 21 games. That's an incredibly high amount for 1 month. In fact, in 98, which the season in which Seattle won 116 games. That was 2001. They won 116 games. Didn't make it out of the ALCS because Seattle. That team that won 116 games never had a month where they won 21 games. That tells you that the current pace of the Coffee Sippers is 100% unsustainable. They've had a very hot month, primarily because Julio Rodriguez had a very hot month. Now, they pitch very well. They have very good starting pitching, a strong bullpen. Even after trading away Postle, they still have a very strong pen. But their offense comes and goes. And while the offense has been really hot for a month, history says there's no way to sustain that. That means the kind of pace they've been on where they're just blowing through teams and constantly, that's going to end. And it's probably going to end soon because most teams cannot sustain that kind of just ridiculous winning streaks. We've actually seen two teams sustain that for half a season in recent years. We saw it with the 2019 Nationals, and we saw it with the 2021 Braves. And the reason why those two teams are talked about is because in the entire history of baseball, you can probably count on your 10 fingers the number of teams who have had that kind of a second half and then gone on to win a World Series. And you probably won't fill all your fingers. Now, the number of teams that have been hot in July or August or September and then completely fallen apart at the end, baseball is littered with those teams. Hell, one of them plays in the division. Right? The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of the United States, of going absolutely nowhere. How about the New York Mets? How about the Chicago Cubs? Okay, they are absolutely littered with teams that have had significant leads and then just down the stretch.
You need some water over there?
Got myself a nice little peachy keen monster. Don't want to get caught with the gosh darn. Don't want to get caught with that. But yes, this is the year where Astros fans need to truly embrace the black hat they've talked about for the last several years. Now that you're actually in a tight race, you're not up by 12 games in the division. Now that you're actually in a tight race, that means this year more than ever, be petty. Be petty. Be angry. Be vindictive. Be that A word that ends in oles that all these other fans are to your team. Show them we can do it better. And make sure those South Bronx slumlords get earfuls every single time they are at the plate. Be ruthless. be relentless. Be unrelenting. Be unforgiving. And most importantly, remind the slumlords where in the standings they are at all times. Before we hit the break, gotta tell you about an awesome event coming up tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at Home Run Dugout in Katy, it's the Legends Concert. Friday, September 1st, that's tomorrow for those of you keeping score at home, we know you are, 9 o'clock, featuring Lil Kiki, Slim Thug, and Paul Wall, all on one stage. And this concert benefits Spring Spirit, a sports and education mentorship program that empowers kids right here in the city of Houston. So go enjoy awesome music. Have a great time. Know you are making a difference in your community. Get your tickets now. HomeRunDugout.com. HomeRunDugout.com. Be part of an awesome legendary night with the Legend Show. Lil Kiki, Slim Thug, Paul Wall, Home Run Dugout, and Katy tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. HomeRunDugout.com. Get your tickets. HomeRunDugout.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
You was a toilet baby. Tiff just popped down like a little old turd, just right down in a bowl.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
You know, as great as this song is, as great as this song told the ocean, as great as this song is, every time I hear the riff, part of me wants to hear She's Crafty. So, I know that maybe you're not old enough to know this, Josh. But, I mean, it would not surprise me. But maybe you're not old enough to know this. But the Beastie Boys, on their first License to Ill, you sample that song for She's Crafty.
I do recall.
We may have had this conversation before. But every time I hear that riff, part of me wants to hear She's Crafty. In fact, I think you should grab She's Crafty and we should play it.
Right now, I was going to wait till next week, but I got you.
Just
I got
grab
you.
It now. Anytime we get to talk about and or listen to the Beastie Boys, life is good. So, yeah, just go straight to Beastie Boys anytime you can. Not trying to besmirch Led Zeppelin. Love Led Zeppelin, but, you know, Beastie Boys. Can't really go wrong with the Beastie Boys, no matter what. There are some Led Zeppelin songs that when you hear it, you're like, all right, I've had enough of this, next. There are no Beastie Boys songs that when you hear it, you go, I've had enough of this, next. That never happens. There is no burn factor on the Beastie Boys. So just always go with the Beastie Boys. Now, just because they're from Brooklyn does not mean that I am showing any favoritism towards the Beastie Boys, because they are the Beastie Boys. Just so happens they are also from Brooklyn, which just adds to how awesome they are. White Castle on Flatbush Ave represent. I wonder how many people were old enough to buy this when it came out.
I definitely don't make that cut.
I will tell you that when this cassettes were the big thing back in the mid-80s, I had a cassette of this, and idiot 13-year-old me would put the headphones on and not be aware. You might notice my voice carries. I know this is probably a surprise. My voice carries. It might be a little loud. Imagine how loud my voice would be if I was rapping with headphones on at 13 years old. Now imagine what happens when your mom hears Beastie Boy lyrics. That did not go over well for me. Remember, I did go to private school, a parochial private school, So things of this type of ilk were not going to go over well with my mom. So she heard me singing Beastie Boy lyrics, bust in the room, like face red, eyes of Toro, ready to murder people, grabs my Walkman, pulls the cassette out, grabs the tape, pulls all the tape out of the cassette, and says, I never want to hear you listening to this again. Well, you know how long that lasted? 2 more days for me to go down to Music Trends and get another copy of License to Ill. And I had it for about a month, and then I got busted again. I might have caught a little bit of a whooping, and cassette got snapped, and I got a sterner. You better not let me catch you listening to this filth, filth, filth again. Got an idea. Got my buddy's Beastie Boys cassette. Got myself a blank cassette. I don't know if you're old enough to remember high-speed dubbing. So you used to have a stereo system that had two cassette players next to each other. And you could high-speed dub. So it would play at, like, triple speed and record. And I would write Phil Collins on it.
Smart boy.
That way, because my mom started doing, she started coming in my room and going through my stuff. So I had one labeled Phil Collins. I had one labeled Elton John. But they were really the Beastie Boys. And I made like extras and copies and just in case. I made like 5 copies and stacked them. And learned, okay, I'm not going to listen to this in the house. Not going to do that. Certainly not if anybody's home. We're just not going to be that dumb. We're going to learn that lesson. And that was how I snuck through my Beastie Boys. Not the only person listening to my voice with the Beastie Boys in 1986. No, Tony, you're on Late Hits. If this is Tony from Massapequa, I know.
Yeah, baby.
I know he
had it. I got my
it.
Copy. It's Sam Goody, buddy. That's where I got my copy.
Back in the day. So,
and I got my Walkman at Radio Shack, I believe. But anyway, same thing. But I can't believe it took you so long to figure out to write, you know, to dub it and write the name on it if you were going to get in trouble. That cracked me up. She probably found your weed in the underwear drawer, too.
Well, you know, I didn't have any Kodachrome, you know, so.
Right, right. But that was, when that album hit, that was crazy. And a lot of fun. Back then, and every time I hear that riff too from the ocean, that's all bang, Beastie Boys goes into my head, and then I gotta, you know, light up my phone to my playlist and play Beastie Boys in the car like a retard, like I'm, you know, 16 again, and bang my head around.
Now let me ask you something. But how many times did you curse out the DJ on the radio for talking over the lead of the song while you were trying to record off the radio?
Oh, my God. You know, you're trying to tape a good song, and he decides he's going to chime in before it ends or into the main part in the beginning. And you're like, oh, God, shut up, shut up. Now I got to wait till you play it again, and maybe he'll shut up. So I totally feel that, too. That was a lot of pain. So the high-speed dubbing, though, was great. And we did those also so our parents wouldn't find out. When we played basketball down at Brady Park, we had the boom boxes with the double speed things in them for our music, so we dubbed everybody's back and forth. But listen, I'll be at the game Sunday in my 113. I can guarantee you all 300 something of us will be very, very distraught if you can say so. And my favorite thing is your nickname for all the teams, from Junk Grabbers to this one to Coffee Sippers. One day you got to run through a list of like the top 20 retarded teams that with your names. So it'll be great. But I promise I will do you proud on Sunday.
I appreciate you, Tony. Enjoy the game, man. Tony, I think Tony's slightly older than I am, maybe by like a year or two. But, yeah, that's kind of how life was. Notice he said boombox. Because this is like kind of like facts of life. If you lived in a Well, let's just say if you lived in a white neighborhood, it was called a boombox. If you lived in a non-white neighborhood, it was called a ghetto blaster. It's the same damn thing. I had two. I had one where everything was built in together, and I had another one that fell off a truck. I had another one where the speakers actually could detach and you could move them around. That one was cool as hell. The wires were a pain in the ass, but that one had so much power in it. And you could detach the speakers and kind of point them in different directions or move them around how you wanted. That was awesome. CDs. Man, I don't think, because I didn't have a CD player. When CDs first came out, trying to get CD players was hard. Like, they were expensive. And I just stuck with cassettes. In fact, when I finally started getting CDs, because I was working in rock radio, and we'd always get free CDs, you'd get promotional CDs, I didn't have a CD player. So I bought the Sony Car Discman, the one that had the attachment for the cassette player. So you'd pop the attachment in, and then you had the little portable CD player that we'd put it in. And you try to, if you spent the extra $40, you could get it with the anti-skip in it. So that when every time you hit a bump, it wouldn't skip. So I had the portable CD player with the little attachment to play in your car cassette player. And that was how, the only way I listened to CDs, probably till I was like 26. Because, you know, didn't have the money for it. My first new car that I bought was a 1994 Toyota Tercel. It was a 4-speed. I think it was like 84 horsepower. It didn't have leather seats. It didn't have cloth seats. It had like Naugahyde vinyl seats, which is literally the worst. If you want to burn your ass, like, this is it. Like 84 horsepower. Didn't even have power windows. It had manual windows, no AC, and of course, it didn't have a CD player. So that was kind of how that. Timothy, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Tim?
Hey, I can totally relate to the not having money. And back in the day, we would put the two cassette players together and try to record it that way because we couldn't afford the fast dubbing. And when you wanted your car to sound great, you take your house speakers out, you use that little cord all the way up to your radio, and you would put your house speakers in the back of your trunk, and it would boom just as loud as the others. You know, the tapes, they made it so much easier, and they sounded great back in then. And I don't think they'll ever understand, now that everybody can download and go through all of that, the time it took to make a great playlist or record something for that special lady, or just recording it off the radio and having to jump up off of your bed and quick push the record button before the guy started talking. Love the show. We'll sit back and listen some more.
Appreciate you, Tim. That's one of the great things about Guardians of the Galaxy. I have awesome mix because it's just a mixtape. That's literally how we did things in the 80s. Everything, you just make a mixtape. And, yeah, you'd pull it off the radio. And I know exactly what you want. You'd take two boom boxes face-to-face, play one, record the other if you didn't have the double cassette deck. And, yeah, it would sound a little off, but it didn't matter because you had it. And, you'd do that. You'd make a mixtape for, like, the girl that you liked, and you'd pick, like, a bunch of songs that you think she'd like, and you'd put it all on there. You'd make other ones, like when you're playing ball with your friends or when you're just jamming or whatnot. You'd have one that was, like, a party mix. You'd have one that was all, like, angry, ticked-off music for if you wanted to work out or whatnot. Like, everything was its own little mix. Now you just make a playlist on Spotify. But back then, because there was no internet, I know that is kind of, like, what the hell do you mean there was no internet? Of course there was. Once upon a time, there was no internet. Once upon a time, the only way to get on the internet was through your phone line. You had to dial up. And every time somebody would pick up the phone on you, you'd get kicked offline. Man, you want to see a fight. Pick up the phone when somebody was on AOL 4.0. Oh, yeah. You want to see a fight. People be yelling. All right, we'll get into your Houston Texans on the other side. Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter patter.
It's a hard life picking stones and pulling teats, but sure as God's got sandals, it beats fighting dudes with treasure trails.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology,
and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, Jay Shav and I were talking about this during the break. Car phones. So, way back in the day, really rich people had hardwired car phones in their car. Like, they weren't, you know, mobile phone where, you know, it's just wireless. It actually had a cord. And usually it would be like in the center console, and it would be corded. And you'd push the button, you'd dial the phone, with a touchtone phone, you'd dial it. And dude, it was like $8.99 a minute. And you'd get like 20 minutes a month. And then after that, it would be like $12.99 a minute. Car phones were for super rich people, or if you worked in a company, like they gave you a company car that had a car phone, but you'd have to account for every minute. Like it had to be, you had to prove it was a work call for every minute. But if you had a car phone, you were rich. You were super rich. One of my friends, his father had like a Buick Riviera, a big boat Riviera, and it had a car phone in it. And his dad basically gave him that car when he bought a new big boat Riviera with a new phone in it. The phone didn't work in his car, but it looked like it did.
And that's, man, all that mattered.
An image is everything.
That is all that mattered.
Lamont, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, man, boy, you got me thinking about the nostalgia. You're talking about car phones. I'm gonna get to the music stuff. But you're talking about car phones, but I can remember back in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, when I first got a cell phone, that whole call after 9 o'clock and it's free.
Somebody yeah, called AT&T. You at 8 o'clock.
It was almost an offense that they called you at 8 o'clock. Hey, man, call me after 9, man. It's free. But, I want to talk about music, man. When I think about how easy music is now, I don't know. Well, no, I'm lying. I know that you're a big music person. But when we went to the music stores, Soundwave House, Sam Goody, Blockbuster Music, that was an all-day event. You stood up there with the CD, reading the credits, reading everything, seeing who produced this and who wrote this. It was different, and it's not like that anymore. You hear from Led Zeppelin or Jay-Z or D.O.C. that came out. You just go on YouTube and, you know, go get it, man. It's kind of funny how things was, man, but that's what we used to do, man. I used to, and back in the old days, because I know you remember this, new releases dropped on Tuesday. New releases dropped on Tuesday, so you had to be there at Tuesday to get the new releases, man. Yeah. And I was standing there with vinyl or cassette players, and just look at it and just read through it, and then I just sent you that tweet about, you remember back in the days of the cassettes, you had to put some paper or some tape over the little holes to record. You just couldn't just put a tape in there and just hit record. You had to put like some paper in there. And that's all I have, man. But you took me back without me.
I appreciate you, Lamont. Man, he's not kidding. Album art was a thing. You would go and look for like 10-inch singles because they would have different album art than the regular full-length LP. You'd actually read through all the credits. Most often they didn't have the song lyrics in them, so like you had to like just listen to it over and over again, try to figure out what they said. You know, if you had somebody who you know, where the words were kind of hard to understand. You just had to keep listening to figure it out. There's no quote. You couldn't just, you know, go to Google and say lyrics for like XYZ song. It didn't exist. You couldn't just go find them out. I don't know if you guys had TSS down here, Times Square stores, but there was what was called Record World inside Times Square stores. And you could spend all day in Record World. It was huge. Record World, before TSS went out of business, Record World was like when you went into Tower Records and Tower Records just had like three stores worth of stuff. It was like that. It was awesome. Do you guys have you ever seen like FYE?
I don't think so.
So FYE today sells like anime stuff and like little toys and tchotchkes and t-shirts and stuff. FYE used to sell DVDs, CDs, music stuff, movie stuff. I think they used to be called Coconuts and then they became FYE. But FYE used to be all music and movies. And then they went through like a whole restructuring, almost went completely out of business, and have since come back where they sell novelties. But FYE used to be like an entire store. It was huge. So there was a location by where I went to high school that was a standalone store. It was a big store. And you could spend all day in there. They had t-shirts, they had novelties, they had all kinds of stuff that you could buy. And prices usually weren't too bad. They would have like every box set when it first came out. They'd have like all these like special edition posters and stuff. And it was cool. Like that's the kind of stuff that we used to do at 16. We did it at 13, but you'd go to the record store and you'd try to get everything you could get. And like Lamont was talking about the new releases that would come out on Tuesday, they would have it set up where you could listen to the new releases. They'd have like one or two songs that were queued up and you'd put the headphones on and you could listen before you bought it. And then you'd because everybody was so hyped to go in there and buy them, you'd go in, you'd get to listen to it for a little bit and then you'd buy it. And then you go back, you listen to it a little bit more before you left. And, you know, the most important ones were, you know, if you went to the one that was in the mall right across from the food court, so you'd eat, go in, shop all day long, go back out, eat again, then go back in, listen. Like, you'd spend the whole day doing that. It's, you know, very different from today where, you know, kids, they go in their room and they put on their headsets and they get on the Xbox and they talk to their friends, but they don't actually see their friends. They just talk to them on the headset. And then they play whatever game where you just kill everybody. I don't know. All right, we'll get to the Texans coming up next. Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Odin Finch.
Odin Finch.
I'm Odin Finch.